right, tonight for the Mail for Trail, he serves the Shades Mountains Church of Christ, Birmingham, Alabama. And the lesson tonight is entitled, What Do You Know About Baptism? The Acts chapter 8, verse 36, per the Mail.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. I appreciate the invitation to be on with you and the good brethren at Highland Heights. And welcome, brethren, and welcome also to all those who may not yet be members of the Church of Christ. As Brother Tommy indicated, and I want to join with him in this, our hope and our prayer will be that this very night, that questions that you might have about baptism will be answered, and that you will then know about baptism, and then that you will be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What an honor and a privilege to be with you. Without any further ado, won't you think with me and turn with me in your Bibles? Again, our theme for the hour, What Do You Know About Baptism? And our theme text, Book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 36. Let's begin right there. I'll be quoting tonight from the King James Version. You follow along in your copy of the scriptures. And again, at the end, Brother Tommy will tell you how you might contact him and the brethren at Highland Heights if you have any questions at all about what is said tonight, and especially any questions at all about baptism. It is 9:03, and in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, here's what you'll find. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Stop right there for just a moment. Now, you know, and I know from reading that right now, this very moment, that the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, knew something about baptism. What was that? He knew he needed to be baptized. Listen to it again. And as they went on their way, the they includes Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? But how did he gain that knowledge? What do you know about baptism? How was it that the eunuch knew to ask the question that he did and knew at that moment that he needed to be baptized? How did he get to that point? What led him up to that point? And you know the answer to that. And if you don't, we have it for you. Earlier in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 29, here's what Luke recorded, again in the context dealing with the encounter of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was, And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And verse 32 goes on from there. Philip from Acts chapter 8 is the same Philip from two chapters earlier, Acts chapter 6. Philip was a member of the church that belonged to Christ. Philip was a New Testament Christian. Philip was one of those seven men selected by the Jerusalem church and appointed by the 12, the apostles, to care for the widows in their daily ministration. Again, you can look at the opening verses of Acts chapter 6. Philip knew about baptism. Again, our question of the hour, what do you know about baptism? But Philip didn't treat his knowledge about baptism as something mysterious or personal or such that he couldn't share it with another. He wasn't living in an ivory tower. This wasn't an academic exercise. What Philip knew about baptism, he shared with others, and the Spirit of God moved him to share it with the Ethiopian eunuch. So let's go back to Acts chapter 8. We know a bit now about Philip. We know Philip knew because he was a member of the Church of Christ. He knew about baptism, and he shared that with this man, with this eunuch, with this Ethiopian eunuch. Indeed, he shared it with him. And then, Acts 8:36, one more time, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And now we have a response from Philip. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch responded, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both, are you there? And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. Philip baptized the eunuch. Look at verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, that is the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. My brethren and friends, the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, went on his way rejoicing because knowledge of salvation is cause for rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing because now, he is now a member of the Church of Christ. He is now a New Testament Christian. God has added him to his church. But the question remains, what do you, my hearers tonight, what do you, my listeners tonight, what do you know about baptism? Stay with me at 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Stay with me for another 20 minutes or so. And let's go to the New Testament. And let's put that question before us again. What do you know about baptism? And let's answer it again and again and again and again from the very Word of God. We believe the Bible is inspired of God. It's, again, the inerrant Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the infallible Word of God. And because we believe that, we go to it for every answer that pertains to life and religion. So our question of the hour, what do you know about baptism? Answer number one, response number one, point number one, it is a burial. It is a burial. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote these words, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Watch it now, verse 4 of Romans chapter 6. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Go back to the opening clause of verse 4. Therefore, therefores and wherefores in Scripture are verbal road signs pointing us backward. Know you not? Verse 3, that so many of us says we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Well, what did that involve? It involved a burial. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. What do you know about baptism? What you know about baptism is what I know. It was and is a burial. Bible baptism is a burial. Sprinkling and pouring do not constitute Bible baptism, because sprinkling and pouring do not constitute a burial. We're all about the Bible. We're all about baptism as a burial because we're all about the Bible, my brethren and my friends. But if we didn't have Romans 6, 4, and it's somewhat parallel in Colossians 2 and verse 12. If we didn't have those, we would still know from the Greek term baptizo, and its root, babto, which means to dip, to plunge, to submerge, to immerse. May I say it again? What do you know about baptism? Bible baptism was and is and forever will be a burial. Point number two tonight, what do you know about baptism is the question of the hour. It is not only a burial, but it is also in water. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 23, here's what you read. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because, get it now, there was much water there. You don't need much water to sprinkle or pour. I can hold that amount of water in the palm of my hand, and I don't even have a big hand. So you don't need much water to sprinkle or pour, but sprinkling and pouring are not a burial. Therefore, they do not constitute Bible baptism. It is a burial, number one, and it is in water, number two. Before we leave that, we're back to the book of Acts. We're back to chapter 8. We're back to 36 and following, where we've been again and again, and we'll be back there again before our time is up tonight. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now skip on down to around verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both," you know it, "went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." The beginning part of verse 39, let's have it again. "And when they were come up out of the water." Bible baptism is a burial, and it is in water. It is not in buttermilk. It is in water. Point number three tonight, dear brethren and friends. What do you know about baptism? Well, the Bible says it's a burial, number one. The Bible says it's in water, number two. And number three, it is for believers. It is for believers. Our Lord addressed this as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 16. You know it. Perhaps you memorized it as I did as a child. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and verse 16, you know the verse, circle it, underline it, highlight it, mark it in your Bible in some way or another, where if you're just flipping through your Bible, your eye will be drawn to it. What do you know about baptism? It is a burial, it is in water, and right now where we are, number three, it is for believers. In John 8 and verse 24, our Lord said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer, moved by the Spirit of God, wrote these words, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must," get it now, "believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Oh dear, there we have it. There we have it. What do you know about baptism? It is for believers. It is for believers. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Number four tonight, I hope you're following along. I know you are, with open minds and open Bibles to the very Word of God. Our question remains, what do you know about baptism? We're at point number four. It is for the remission of sins. It is for the forgiveness of sins. One verse here, one verse that I believe you know, but if you don't, we're directing you to Acts chapter 2. And verse 38. And may I suggest that tonight, before you pray and pillow your head, that you read all of Acts chapter 2. Read Acts chapter 2 in its entirety. Read the whole thing from verse 1 to verse 47. 47 verses in Acts chapter 2. Read them. Start memorizing them this very night. But our focus right now on verse 38. "Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Watch it now. For the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. For is that little Greek preposition, ace, that is prospective, not retrospective, in its outlook, and it is understood as in order to obtain. In order to obtain. What Peter and the other apostles, for that matter, were saying to the Pentecostans, to the residents of Jerusalem in that long ago day, 2,000 years ago, what Peter was saying was this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order to obtain the remission, the forgiveness of your sins. There's the purpose of baptism, stated clearly by the Apostle Peter, who was moved by the Holy Spirit to again speak what he spoke, and later to write what he wrote. Point number five tonight, what do you know about baptism? Well, it's a burial in water for believers, for the remission of sins, and it puts you into Christ. It puts you into Christ. That's where we want to be. We want to be in that in Christ Jesus realm and relationship. There's nothing else like it. There's no salvation outside of that relationship. Our proof text here, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Here's what Paul wrote, again, to the churches, plural, of Galatia. These are congregations established by Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, first missionary tour, as recorded in Acts chapters 13 and 14. Churches like Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. are a few of the churches that we know about in that Roman province of Galatia. So Paul's writing to them because they're being threatened by the Judaizing teachers who are requiring circumcision on the part of Gentiles in order to be saved. But that is contrary to the will and word and way of God. And so in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, here's what Paul penned: "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Watch it now. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It is baptism that puts you into Christ. The in Christ Jesus relationship that makes all the difference in our lives now and will make all the difference in the world to come for our soul's salvation. Maybe tonight you've been thinking about baptism, but you haven't yet, as I say, you haven't yet pulled the trigger. You haven't gotten there just yet. Think about where you are, what realm you're in. And we want you to be in the realm, in the relationship that's called in Christ Jesus. Again, there's no other way. There's no substitute for that. There's no other route. It was Peter who said in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that name was given two verses earlier, Acts 4 and verse 10, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so I hope tonight, and we're not done yet, stay with me, but I hope tonight you're already thinking about, how can I get into Christ? How can I get into Christ Jesus? What will put me into Christ? And we've just quoted it. You've got it before you. Your Bible ought to be open there, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Well, point number six, dear brethren and friends, what do you know about baptism? Well, it's a burial in water for believers for the remission of sins. It puts you into Christ, and it gets you into the one body. Point number six, it gets you into the one body. One quick verse here is a proof text for that point, for the argument we're putting forth before you right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." That one body is the one church, and that one church belongs to Christ. I'm not a member of a human religious denomination. I don't say that to be ugly, but I say it truthfully. I'm not a member of a Protestant or Catholic. I'm not a member of any human religious denomination. I'm not a member of any human religious organization. I'm not a member of any human religious institution. I am a member of the church that belongs to Christ. And baptism gets you into the one body, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And we know from Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 1:22 and 23 that the body is the church and the church is the body. And so there's one body, there's one church. And if we are baptized into one body, it follows that we're baptized into one church. And that is the church that, again, belongs to the Christ. And that's what we want you to seriously consider tonight when it comes to your soul's salvation. Point number seven, dear brethren and friends, at 19 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, stay with me now. What do you know about baptism? Well, number seven, it is essential to obedience. This may be a point that we don't often think about or think nearly often enough about, but baptism is essential to obedience. And obedience is a theme that runs throughout all of the Word of God. Much earlier, in the book of Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 18, Moses records a conversation between God and Abraham. How amazing is that? How wonderful is that? And God said to Abraham, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because," watch it now, "thou hast obeyed my voice." Obedience has always been something that is essential in the eyes of God and needs to be viewed as necessary from our vantage point as well. And baptism is essential to obedience. Our proof text, Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. And there Luke recorded these words, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." The "he" is Peter. And the they is a reference to Cornelius and his household. Read all of Acts chapter 10 at your leisure, but there again at the bottom of the chapter, at the tail end of the chapter, again Acts 10 verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It was a command. It was a command. And therefore, obedience is the response. Baptism is essential to obedience. But obedience is essential to salvation. We know that from Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And there the Hebrew writer said, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto, watch it now, all them that obey him. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So baptism is essential to obedience, and obedience is essential to salvation, and therefore it follows biblically and logically that baptism is essential to salvation, and that allows us to transition into our final point tonight. Point number 8 tonight, oh brethren and friends, what do you know about baptism? Point number 8, it saves. It saves indeed. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of Peter, moved by the Spirit of God, again, to write what he wrote. And we know in 1 Peter, we know in 1 Peter chapter 3, the last of verse 20 and all of verse 21, here's what Peter penned. Here's what you'll find in your Bible and in mine. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, 8 souls were saved by water. Watch it now. The like figure, here we are, whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go back to the first part of verse 21. The like figure whereunto baptism, we would say today, does also now save us. What do you know about baptism? It saves. It saves. Our Lord had already made this point. Decades earlier, had he not? Of course he had. As we quoted earlier, relative to point number 3, that baptism is for believers. So back again for a final time to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 16, where our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm going to tell you what you already know. Our Lord didn't say he that believeth is saved and then shall be baptized. No, not at all. And we don't say that again to be ugly or unkind. But our Lord said, and Mark recorded, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. So we know that baptism saves, and we know why baptism saves. Because it is in baptism where we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. It was John the Revelator. It was John in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 who said in the last clause of verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, Revelation 1, the last part of 5 and the first part of verse 6. May I back up just a moment at 24 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Stay with me now as we wind things down and shortly turn things over to Brother Tommy Brooks, our host for the evening and every evening, and our thanks to him for all that he continues to do for this wonderful work. I'm directing you as we close to Acts 22 and verse 16, where Ananias says to Saul, later to be known as Paul, he says, and now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So in your mind, better yet in your Bible, connect Acts 22 and verse 16. With Revelation 1 and verse 5 that I've just quoted. It is in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Jesus the Christ. And so that is why baptism saves. Because, again, it's in baptism. It is in immersion, in water, that we are saved. Because it's there that we receive the forgiveness of our sins. So let's go through it one more time. Our time is just about up. What do you know about baptism? I hope that you can correctly and safely say that right now you know maybe at least a bit more than you did before our program began. But even if you didn't, we hope that we've helped you to remember. We reminded you tonight of things that you've known in the past about baptism. Our hope and our prayer and our continuing hope and prayer is that you'll decide to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, that you'll seek out a preacher, a member of the Church of Christ in your area, and let them talk to you about what you've heard tonight. And you can go to the verses with them that you've gone to with me tonight, and you can see your obligation. So again, I ask you for a final time, what do you know about baptism? What do you know about baptism? You know it's a burial. It is in water. It is for believers. It is for the remission of sins. It puts you into Christ. It gets you into the one body. It is necessary for obedience, and it saves. And that is what the Bible says about baptism. I hope and pray that tonight you will reflect at length and seriously, sober-mindedly about these matters. Not because I've been doing the preaching tonight, whether it's Brother Tommy or Brother Mel, whether it's Brother Tommy in Houston or where I am. I'm the preacher at the Shades Mountain Church of Christ here in Birmingham, Alabama, and I send greetings from our brethren here at Shades Mountain and from the Churches of Christ of the great state of Alabama and all over this country to you. And I hope you'll seek out, again, brethren, perhaps a gospel preacher in the Churches of Christ, and talk to him and open your Bible with him and let him aid you and help you as Philip did the Ethiopian. Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, "How can I accept? Some man should guide me." And Philip was ready and willing and able to do just that. Are you, as a member of the church tonight, ready, willing, and able to do just that? Will you do what Philip did 2,000 years ago? Are you prepared to do that? And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ tonight, you now know a few things about baptism. It's been so wonderful to be with you. We thank you for tuning in tonight and appreciate you being with us tonight. And with that, I turn things over to Brother Tommy Brooks.